Welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got David Andine. He's the reference design manager out at Maxim. They make a whole bunch of cool electronic stuff, but what we're talking about today is more of a virtual product, reference design. Isn't that right, David?
Absolutely, Alex. We make a variety of reference designs and see our customers implement them or pieces of them in their end product design. So it's a very important piece of what we offer our customers.
Well, and especially with the issues of technology adoption and rapid development today, it's critical because some of these devices are so new, even the people who are designing them, you know, can't get a complete handle on all the application spaces that it could be applicable for. So it behooves the company to set up these reference designs to demonstrate to the industry the benefits of the technology.
You're absolutely right. We put the products in the context where they function best and ideally accelerate the development process for our customers at the same time. So it's hopefully a win-win situation for Maxim and our customers.
There you go. Now, and today I think we were going to be talking about industrial control and automation. I mean, the bottom line there is everybody looks at energy savings and system savings and economies for battery-driven devices and consumer devices or portable devices that have an energy budget. But industrial systems have a need for low power as well, right?
You're absolutely right, Alex. People tend to be very in touch with the devices they handle on a daily basis. So the battery life on your smartphone is important. But if we look at global energy consumption, so much of it comes from the industrial space and comes from motors and other sensors that are functioning in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an area with tremendous opportunity for improvement and optimization.
Well, and now the thing about industrial systems is it's not just simply a matter of slapping a more efficient power supply in. An automation system, there's feedback, there's sensor loops, there's intelligent management. There are a lot of moving parts in there, no pun intended.
That's for sure, Alex. You've got a variety of different signals, different buses, different communication protocols that are going on an industrial floor. And the other thing I think that's important is at a very high application level, an industrial or factory floor is constantly changing too. So the extent to which these factory floors can be made more efficient and more configurable is extremely advantageous to the folks running them.
Oh, that's completely understandable. Now, David, what are some of the pitfalls that a designer winds up in, whether unintentionally or through good intentions that go awry? What are some of the problems that you can encounter when you're setting up your automation system?
Well, Alex, probably some of the biggest challenges have to do with isolation. In most industrial applications, there have to be isolation barriers at critical parts of the system architecture. And isolation can be done a number of ways. And if it's done well or in a good architecture, it can be done in a very small, efficient way. If not, it can be extremely expensive and also consume a lot of energy. Because you may have to run power to a variety of isolation elements.
That's a very good point. Now, is that a simple physical issue, or is that a system topology issue, or is that a physical plant issue?
It's an issue at all three levels, I think. The area that Maxim is keen on is the system architecture issue. You know, if we look at some of the reference designs that we're producing right now, we're really targeting some of the factory control, programmable logic controller architectures and putting in smaller, more efficient solutions into those boxes that make the entire factory more efficient.
There you go. Now, tell me a little bit more about then this reference design and how it addresses. Talk about the main issue that it's addressing and then the peripheral issues that it also addresses and the general benefit to the end user?
I'd be happy to. The reference design that we're talking about today is called the Corona reference design. And it's an 8-channel digital input subsystem. The idea being that on an industrial floor, you have a variety of both analog and digital sensors.
Mm-hmm.
Digital sensors would be like on-off switches that would switch if a certain temperature is reached, or if a level in a bath is reached, or if
feeler, unit, you know, switch or something.
A spot of presence sensor, exactly. And these run on typically a 24-volt digital bus, so it's not the type of digital that we're familiar with when we talk about microprocessor chips. It's a more robust industrial digital.
Mm-hmm.
What we've done is put an 8-channel digital input. So as you're configuring your factory floor and putting a variety of digital switches or sensors out on the floor, that information needs to feed back into a centralized controller.
Right.
And that can be done through our Corona subsystem, where you have 8 digital input channels running through our translator serializer part. And all of those 8 channels are then multiplexed into a single channel, and that information is passed across an isolation barrier using our data isolation part. So you go from a system that could be implemented using up to 8 optocouplers, which are expensive.
Yes.
And consume power and degrade over time, and you put it into a much smaller, more elegant system using a couple of semiconductor parts that we provide.
There you go, Dave. That's a very good solution, because the whole issue of not only the control, but as you point out, the isolation, you've got to do both in the same action or you're doing redundant systems.
Exactly, exactly. And if you can get that down to as small of a bus, if you will, as possible, the better off you are in terms of power consumption, system size, and efficiency.
Right. Well, because unfortunately, at the macro level, you still have to cram electrons down the wire. You can't just send microscopic voltages and some digital data and expect everything to be done at the other end all by itself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So what other support do you offer engineers who want to pick up this reference design? You know, you had FAEs that will go out there and help them out. Do you have other resources to aid in the implementation of the technology?
We sure do. Each one of our reference designs comes with a complete set of design files. In fact, all of those design files are posted publicly on our website, so an engineer can download schematics, layout files, and Gerber files, as well as firmware that allows them to implement this subsystem on a couple of different platforms.
Hmm.
In addition to that, customers can purchase the reference design from Maxim or through some of our distribution partners, and our entire field, in addition, is trained on these systems. So they're very well aware of how the circuit is implemented and how it might be able to be optimized for each customer's application.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, David. Now, before we close out the episode, though, are there any last thoughts or any last points about the system you'd like to leave with our audience?
Yes, I do. I think let me say that one more time, Alex. I think Corona is an extremely special design and subsystem, because it optimizes size, power, and cost. And if you look at what engineers are looking for in their designs these days, they're looking for a cost-effective design that is powerful, that can fit in their space. And it hits on all three of those requirements. So it gets a 3 out of 3 score. And if you're implementing an industrial design, take a look at Corona.
It behooves them to.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, hey, David, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to come to the show because, as I said earlier, a lot of people tend to forget that industrial systems need to be more efficient as well. It's not just a portable device issue, and I'm glad that Maxim's doing solutions for that space.
Well, the pleasure is mine, Alex. Thank you so much for having me, and Maxim and I thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, we'll drag you back. Don't even worry about it. There's so much going on in this space. We barely scratched the surface on the application space. We can come back and talk another 3-4 times about it and not even exhaust all the opportunity.
And we'll be building more.
There you go.
Plenty to talk about.
And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to be with us. We obviously wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Paul for Pault on Power. Have a great day.